You are Locked On Vikings, your daily Minnesota Vikings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, welcome, everybody, to the Friday episode of Locked On Vikings. I am your host, your pal, and the kid you copied off in math class. My name is Luke Braun. You can find me on Twitter at LukeBraunNFL. You can find the show on Twitter at Locked On Vikings. And hey, this football season has been a lot different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you've been watching this season. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. These passionate fans are the real generational talent that Pepsi fuels, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi. Today, we are going to deep dive into the Bears. Of course, we have the first injury report. Injury reports are a day later this week because the Vikings play a day later. It's a Monday night game, and we'll be able to talk a little bit about the Bears. We'll actually get another chance to talk about the Bears before the game, because there's going to be a show that comes out on Monday morning, the morning of the game. And so we'll be able to talk about the full injury report then, as well as you know, cleaning up some other things, maybe talking about what happens on Sunday, if there's anything interesting to chat about there. But let's dive into some of the news of the day. The first thing we should get into is the injury reports for both teams. Worth going over here. The Vikings looks a lot different than it did last week, which is actually a good thing, because it was pretty bad for a while, though a lot of the players that were hurt and on that injury report just like went on IR. So it's not like the Vikings, I don't think, are much healthier than they've been all year. I don't think they're going to be healthy at all this year. So anyways, the DNPs for Thursday were CJ Ham, who is listed with a shoulder injury, but he also had a non-injury reason for not practicing. And the beat reporters seem to get the sense that he's going to be back on Friday, but that's something to keep an eye on. And Irv Smith still dealing with that groin injury he suffered in the middle of the game. The broadcasters posited that he strained his groin dancing in the end zone. I'm not sure if that's the case or not, but if it is, that would be pretty rough. Also limited, which is good news, is Cameron Dantzler. He was dealing with a concussion for all of last week, and the fact that he's actually practicing is great. Kind of nice to be on a Monday night game, actually, when you're dealing with a thing that can be so day-to-day like a concussion is. You know, that could take exactly 4 days, or it could take exactly 5 days from now, or whatever. And so the fact that they get that extra day might actually be the difference. That's kind of nice. And then also, Ifeadi Odenigbo and Adam Thielen are full participants, but it should be noted that they're both dealing with shoulder injuries. I think Thielen's been dealing with that shoulder injury all year, but it doesn't seem to be slowing him down or anything. On the other side of the coin, the Bears injury report is pretty full. Yesterday on the show, Lauren Cox mentioned that, you know, they want to get tight ends involved more. Cole Kmet didn't practice with a groin injury. David Montgomery still dealing with a concussion, didn't practice. Jason Spriggs, who we were talking about yesterday on Crossover Thursday with Lauren, that we weren't sure if Jason Spriggs was going to be able to play. And if not, they're down to their third string right tackle. He still didn't practice with a knee injury. Mitchell Trubisky, he wouldn't be starting, but he's suffered that shoulder injury. He's still a DNP. And even more, they have Roquan Smith, Allen Robinson, Barkevius Mingo, and Tashaun Gibson, all limited participants in practice. So the Bears have a pretty lengthy injury report. The Vikings have a deceptively short injury report because they have a really strong IR. So yeah, there's a lot of backups going on in this one. And I think this is going to kind of be the way that games are throughout the rest of this season. I also want to talk to you about something. You know, yesterday I talked to you about all of the curses with the Soldier Field and Kirk Cousins on Monday night and stuff. Go listen if you're interested in that. But there's one I forgot to mention, because I did not realize when I recorded the show that the Bears are wearing their orange uniforms. Oh yeah, we're getting superstitious on this. There is a deep curse with the Vikings under Mike Zimmer and alternate uniforms. I am taking this as seriously as I possibly can. So here's the thing. When the other team wears an alternate uniform, and that means like an actual like alternate, like the action green the Seahawks always wear, or the orange uniforms for the Bears, not necessarily, you know, wearing their road jersey at home because it's a hot day out like Miami did once in 2014, or like Carolina did in 2016. No, this is true blue, like a color rush jersey. The Vikings are 5-11 in those games. It's happened 16 times. This will be the 17th, and they're 5-11 in those games. And in all the other games, they're like 57-35-1 or something like that. Like, the Vikings have been like, they've never been 5-11 in a season. But if you made a season of just their all uni games, it would be the worst season the Vikings have ever played. They absolutely have been underperforming here. And in some of those games, they're like really like cursed games that the Vikings like really underperformed in, like, you know, all of these weird bizarre Seahawks games, like the 2015 opener against San Francisco. Remember when Colin Kaepernick ran all over the Vikings and we were like, what happened there? And that one is still like super mysterious, especially because the rest of that year went well. The game against the Eagles in 2016 that kickstarted the losing streak that undid the 5-game winning streak at the very beginning. All of those games, a couple of frustrating losses against these Bears, frustrating loss against Washington. All of those games are against alternate uniforms. And I don't think there's anything really to this. I think it's mostly just a joke. But there could be something to, you know, kind of a psychology to it, right? You study a bunch of tape, you watch them in a certain jersey, and they're coming out and they look different, and you have to like think just a little bit harder to kind of know who's who or whatever. I don't think that really applies to like everybody though. And I think this is probably like way more likely to be just a fluke of coincidence than like an actual thing, but I got my eye on it. And then last bit of news before we get into the actual Bears preview is that I want to talk about is something I missed from earlier in the week, that the Vikings are no longer going to pursue or try to get any more than 250 fans in US Bank Stadium for the rest of the year. We kind of saw this coming. Cases of COVID in Minnesota are spiking, so please, you know, stay home if you can, wear a mask, be safe, wash your hands, all of that good stuff. But, you know, because things in Minnesota are getting more and more dire, the Vikings are no longer going to even try to get fans in, and they're just going to have a fanless US Bank Stadium, which was probably going to be the outcome anyways, but now it's official. So that means that we're all going to have to sit in our living rooms and watch the games from there. But that might not necessarily be such a bad thing. This whole football season has been a lot different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you've been watching, in your living room, in your bedroom, on an internet source of sorts. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. These passionate fans are the real adrenaline that Pepsi fuels, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi. All right, let's talk about the Bears. And we have a little extra time to talk about the Bears, so I'm going to get into some more granular stuff like I usually do on this Friday show. If you want a more generalized outlook on things, listen to Crossover Thursday yesterday, where Lauren Cox of Locked On Bears explained the Bears in a much more general sense to me. I want to hone in on a couple of things that I noticed when I was doing some tape study to prepare for this game that I think the Vikings could exploit to get a little bit of a leg up on this stingy Bears defense. That's where we're going to start. And the Bears defense loves to run cover one man. And so cover one, if you are unfamiliar, of course, it means one deep safety. That's what the one means. And then man to man across everything else. So that accounts for six defenders. You have one deep safety, five people in man to man coverage with somebody. That leaves five defenders left over for just counting off all 11. And you can do whatever you want with those five. You can kind of rush four, drop one back into a different, like an underneath zone or something. You could blitz all five of them and just have a five man blitz, but everybody's covered, right? Because you're man to man. You could do like a robber zone where one of those players will line up like they're going to be a deep safety responsible for half of the field. The quarterback will like make his pre-snap read off of that, and then suddenly he will jump a route and try to get an interception or something, right? That's kind of the beauty of cover one, is that flex guy can be anything. He can be a quarterback spy if you're worried about a Russell Wilson leaking out of the pocket or something like that. He can do, you know, whatever you think that player could do. Who that player is can change and stuff like that. So cover one is a very flexible coverage that can do a lot of interesting things, and it's a very aggressive coverage. You can blitz quite a bit. But the drawback of cover one is that you need to have cornerbacks that can cover. People need to be able to win those matchups. You're basically leaving everybody one-on-one on an island. And if you don't, I mean, if the Vikings tried to play cover one, then you would have to have, you know, Chris Boyd just win one-on-one against their best wide receiver. That's probably not going to happen. That's why the Vikings don't do a lot of cover one themselves. They don't really have the horses for it, but the Bears do. They have Kyle Fuller. They have Jalen Johnson, who's playing fantastically. They have good safeties. They have good cover linebackers and stuff. So they've had a very, very good time using cover one, and they've kind of gotten all the advantages of it with really, really mitigated risk because their cornerbacks are good. So they're going to win those matchups and allow you to do all sorts of crazy stuff. But I think there's a weakness in this with the Bears that the Vikings can exploit, and it's Buster Screen. Now, I've talked to a couple of different people. I talked to Lauren yesterday. I also went on a Bears podcast earlier in the week and asked them about the slot corner situation, and they talked about Buster Screen, who has been a little bit more of a liability in coverage this year. And I kind of looked into some of the plays that he gave up, and this is more of a like a larger trend of the Bears defense in general. But we're kind of lucky too, because the Bears have now played in two of their last three games against wide zone offenses, against the Titans and Rams. Titans and Rams run the same scheme that the Vikings run, so we get to see, as fans, we kind of get a little preview of what it looks like when the Bears defend a scheme like that. And so they use all their cover one, and those teams like use certain concepts, which we'll talk about in a little bit here. But what I saw was that they aren't afraid of sending Buster Screen deep. If you line up, you know, your Cooper Kupp, your AJ Brown, this could be a number of different people in the Vikings offense. I like Justin Jefferson for this job personally. You can line them up and send them on a deep route. There are certain like a smash concept. Smash concepts can come in a bunch of different shapes and sizes, but the basic idea of a smash concept is for it to be a high-low thing. It's supposed to beat single high coverages, like cover one with man coverage or cover three. And against cover one, the way that it would work is if everybody's man-to-man like the way they're supposed to be, you would have basically two routes run to the same part of the field like horizontally and just stretch vertically. So one is deep and one is shallow. So the most classic iteration of this is like a corner route. You'd have Justin Jefferson running a corner route out of the slot, and then you can have something else like a hitch up top, or just like a quick like now route where the guy just doesn't even run around, he just turns around like trying to be ready for the ball if you were going to throw that. And depending on the pre-snap indicators that Kirk Cousins gets, he can make that decision. Like, for example, say that guy on the outside isn't Adam Thielen or BC Johnson or whoever, but it is instead Irv Smith, which the Vikings have done. They've kind of split Irv Smith out wide. And then you see what the Bears do for that. If they send a corner out there, well, you know, it's probably some kind of zone coverage. But if they send a linebacker out there, you know, in man coverage, you'd want a linebacker, you know, your cover linebacker to be on Irv Smith. And then, you know, it's man coverage. So then the dynamic you get set up is that when Justin Jefferson's running that corner route, and then you just kind of have to trust that Justin Jefferson will beat his guy in the corner route. Justin Jefferson versus Buster Screen, I'm taking that. If that's the leverage matchup, if that's the matchup the Vikings have to win the play, I'm taking that matchup all day. And then you have Irv Smith just stay short, just kind of stay in a place where the person guarding Irv Smith can't go deep and help out his teammate at all without abandoning Irv Smith, just to kind of keep him down there, just anchor him down like short, close to line of scrimmage. And then suddenly you get this really clean one-on-one. The single high safety is not going to have anything to say about this. They won't be able to get over to the sideline in time, and you should get a nice clean one-on-one. Kirk Cousins can throw that corner route all day and should be able to get some production. I think there's a weakness there. I think the Vikings can take advantage of Buster Screen and create some production against an otherwise pretty stingy Bear defense. And then the other part of this is just kind of copycatting what the Rams and Titans did. The Rams and Titans both had pretty good offensive outputs against the Bears. They were able to move the ball pretty well. And one of the things that the Rams and Titans like to do is also something that the Vikings like to do. It shouldn't surprise you because they run the same scheme, but they like to run this scheme the same way. They're all liking this a lot this year. And by the way, the Vikings also love to use slot stuff. They love to put Justin Jefferson in the slot. They like to put Adam Thielen in the slot too. So the fact that the Bears are weaker in the slot than elsewhere plays kind of right into the Vikings' hands. But the other thing they like to do is set up in tight formations like bunches and two-man stacks and stuff like that. Basically formations that one way or another get so many receivers stacked up on top of each other, even if it's just two, and they just kind of like line up one in front of the other, that the person in the back is going to get a free release. And that really, really helps. That means if they've got good press corners, you can basically take that aspect of the game completely completely out of the equation, and you can just, you know, have it make them win somewhere else. And if they're really good at winning on the line of scrimmage, you can just take their strengths away. And that has been really, really effective against the Bears. I don't know if the Bears are particularly good at press or whatever, but they have given up a lot of plays against like 2x2 stacked formations where you have two wide receivers on either side. They're both stacked up on top of each other. And then, you know, you can run interesting concepts from there, and it tightens up the whole defense and it gets everybody kind of in one area. It makes it a lot harder for them to win if they are in cover one man. And if they're in zones, then it kind of sucks them further away from the landmark they have to get to. And then suddenly they have to go like push a little bit harder, stretch a little bit harder to get to their original landmarks. And that makes it easier to pick apart that zone. That's been working really, really well against the Bears. And again, that's something that the Vikings already, against just like a neutral, normal defense that isn't particularly better at one thing than another, that's probably what the Vikings would choose to do anyways. I think they've really been liking their concepts out of like tight stacks and stuff, especially the way that that sets up for the run game. And another kind of advantage of being in tight like that is that, you know, to defend against in case it's a run play, the way that the defense has to align gets all kind of messed up. So, you know, if you're up spread out, so you have a normal, like an outside receiver and a slot receiver, right? Then the cornerbacks can more or less line up right in that guy's face or off, or they can do whatever they want. But when you're all bunched in tight, that cornerback suddenly has to think a lot more about the run game because they're so much closer into it. And they, you know, now they're responsible for a gap and they've got to think about all that. And that's going to change the way that they actually align. And the change that that makes in the spacing, you know, now they're going to stand this much further back and this much further to ones, you know, to the inside or the outside or whatever, you can then exploit that with routes. And you can tell your wide receiver, all right, wherever he goes, you know, run this route depending on where he goes, so you can take advantage of the space that that creates. And suddenly, you know, you can get some really, really good concepts out of that. That I think is another like avenue where the Vikings could maybe get a little bit of production against a Bears defense that's full of really, really, really good players. There's a lot of weaknesses and stuff that the Vikings are going to have to contend with. And of course, we got to talk about the Khalil Mack thing and all that. So stick around, because there's a lot more of this Bears team that I think we have to be fearful of. And we have to find a way to handle better than we have in the last couple of years. So stick around. All right, let's talk about maybe the scariest player on the Bears, Khalil Mack. Khalil Mack's been a world wrecker this year. That shouldn't surprise you. All he does is destroy, right? He beats tackles, you know, he wins one-on-one and all that stuff. But the Bears are also really good, especially against the Vikings. Vikings have been bad at countering this. They're really good at getting that guy one-on-one with like a tight end or getting him around. You know, what you can do is basically force a protection. So I know I talked about this a lot with Anthony Barr, and I think the Bears have that same deal with some of their linebackers, or just the way that they like set up blitzes. They're really, really good at getting you to slide a protection. So say you have Khalil Mack lined up on the left side of the field, and then you overload the right side of the field. So you basically threaten, hey, I'm going to rush two extra guys. I'm going to rush them both from the right side to really, really stress just one half of the of your offensive line while everybody else doesn't have any jobs over here. I'm going to mess up your blocking numbers, right? And so to respond to that, the offense has to slide their protection downward. And so everybody has to shift their assignment one guy down. So now Brian O'Neill, instead of taking the defensive tackle, now he's taking the defensive end, or now he's taking the blitzing linebacker. And now, you know, Ezra Cleveland or whoever's playing right guard, now he goes from the tackle to the end that Brian O'Neill was getting, and so on and so forth, right? And you slide everything down. And what that means is that if you have a tight end, let's say, blocking over on the left side of the formation by Khalil Mack, maybe your plan was to have Riley Reiff and a tight end double team Khalil Mack in pass protection. That seems like a good plan, right? Well, now suddenly, because you had to slide that protection, now Riley Reiff has to go off of Khalil Mack and onto the guy next to Khalil Mack, and the tight end is now solely responsible for Khalil Mack. The Bears love to do this, and suddenly you'll end up in a situation where Kyle Rudolph was somehow expected to pass protect against Khalil Mack one-on-one, and that's how you end up with a strip sack. That's happened to the Vikings way too many times. You have to figure out a better plan for that. Either just change the way that you respond to those sort of blitz setups, maybe by saying, instead of sliding the protection, we'll like have a, you know, we'll have the tight end motion across the formation and go help over there. Or maybe we'll have, you know, a running back get involved in pass protection or something. Change the way that you've been responding to that, because what you've been doing so far hasn't been working. It's been allowing yourself to get into way too many disadvantageous positions, and it's allowed Khalil Mack to have some of the better games of his time in Chicago against these Vikings. That can't keep happening. You can't make their stars look even better than they always are. Another thing that I would love to exploit is Roquan Smith. So what I noticed in just the like major run plays that both the Titans and Rams got against the Bears, so you know, these zone runs seem concepts, a lot of toss stuff, a lot of the exact same stuff that the Vikings run working against the Bears, was that a lot of it was designed to trick Roquan Smith. And this is something that I've noticed kind of league-wide. nobody's really respecting the jet sweep right now. Linebackers are keying on running backs. We just saw this. If you watched the Thursday night game between the Colts and Titans, you kind of saw the Colts take advantage of this, where the Titans were like keying on whoever the running back was. And if you would have a jet sweep, a jet motion, the Vikings use it all the time. So, you know, you have fake a jet sweep where Adam Thielen comes ripping across the front of the formation and you have to worry about that, right? Do they change the gaps? Do they change anything? Defense doesn't respond at all. They just stay still. Maybe they change the gap mentally, but there's no adjustment in their alignment at all. And then you fake that jet sweep. It turns out to be like a legit handoff to Dalvin Cook and nothing changed. They didn't change anything because they didn't think you were going to hand it to Adam Thielen. You didn't hand it off to Adam Thielen, so they were rewarded on that, and then suddenly you just kind of like had a bunch of hubbub for no real gain. So call the bluff. I guess they're kind of calling your bluff, so, you know, make good on it and punish them for that, and you can get them on a jet sweep. I think that's kind of what I'm saying here. Roquan Smith specifically has really been keying on running backs. They might be telling him to. They might be. I mean, you're Roquan Smith, right? Read where the running back is going and go get him. That's a great thing. If I had Roquan Smith, that's probably what I would tell him to. But you can exploit that. And you can kind of say, well, if you're going to key on Dalvin Cook, I'm going to fake like I'm tossing Dalvin Cook, a sweep to the right. And I might even have that be a real option in the play, depending on the pre-snap read. So even the linemen blocking for it don't know what's going to happen. And that'll make it really convincing, right? And then, make it an actual jet sweep to Adam Thielen or something like that. You can get Roquan Smith out of run plays. That seems like a pretty good thing to do, especially if you can guarantee that it'll be done like pre-snap. You can just get him out of the play just by the virtue of the play design. So I really like the idea of play action and jet sweeps against this Bears defense. The Rams did a great job with jet sweeps against the Bears. The Titans did a great job with play action against the Bears. And I think the Vikings can kind of lift a lot of those concepts, which they already have, but they can like use those as proof of concept and confidently run those concepts against the Bears. Hopefully get a little bit more production against these Bears than a lot of teams have been able to, because these Bears have been stingy otherwise. Now, I wanted to spend most of the show talking about the defense and the way that and like the scariness of that defense and all the good Kyle Fuller and Eddie Jackson, Khalil Mack and Roquan Smith, all these really, really good players. But we should talk a little bit about the offense as well. And I think the main thing, and this is another thing that kind of plays into the Vikings' hand, is that Nick Foles has not been very good. And I know I'm like kind of playing with fire by saying with that, you know, Nick Foles and the way that he beat the Vikings in 2017 and stuff, and the current, I'm like tempting fate or whatever. But I mean, let's get down to nitty gritty and let's talk empirically for a second here. Nick Foles is a very low average depth of target. His average depth of target is 8.3 yards. That ranks somewhere around 25th, 24th in the league, something like that, depending on your snap cutoffs. He has the lowest drop percentage in the league. That means he's getting help from his wide receivers. Wide receivers are not dropping passes, but his completion percentage is very low, and his average depth of target is very low. This all just kind of, and if you watch it on the tape, it confirms the things that those numbers suggest, which is that he's not very accurate. He's just not throwing the ball very well. He's poorly graded and all that stuff. I mean, measure it however you want to measure it. Nick Foles is not playing well. And because the Bears have Nick Foles, and this might be a critique of Matt Nagy, they're kind of handcuffing him. They're not asking him to throw deep, but they're also not using play action. They're just kind of asking him to drop down and be a quick throw West Coast kind of quarterback. Well, you know what that's really, really bad against? Cover two. And the Vikings have basically, I mean, they're like the third most cover two heavy team in the league, and they have to be. Their corners can't do anything else. They're, like I mentioned with cover one, you know, you can't do man-to-man coverage. If you do cover two man-to-man coverage, that means that any deep route you're passing off, and that changes the technique that you play as a cornerback. And we've talked about this a ton because of that's kind of how Mike Zimmer has solved the problem of what do you do when you need like Harrison Hand and guys you pulled off the street to cover like Julio Jones or, you know, cover like Marvin Jones or whatever. That's how you do it, right? You have them play cover two. You have you tell them pass anything else off deep and just play technique. That means you don't get beat underneath, or if you do get let up a catch underneath, you go up and tackle it. And that's basically what the Bears offense has been. It's been something like hoping a lot for yards after the catch, and their run game has been very poor as well. They've also had some pretty big problems along the offensive line, like Lauren Cox mentioned. Their left tackle, Charles Leno Jr., has given up 30 pressures on the year. To put that into perspective, that's more than the Vikings starting tackle combined. That's more than Dakota Dozier combined with Brian O'Neill. That's more than Dakota Dozier combined with Drew Samia. And Drew Samia only played a couple games, but he was so bad in those games. This is actually an interesting point. That's a lot of pressures allowed. And his grades match up and stuff that Charles Leno Jr. has not been very good. And the hope would be that he's somebody that if Fadi Odenigbo, or if, you know, Hercules Mataafa continues to play at edge, or if he and Jalen Holmes at edge or something like that, the hope would be that the Vikings have some sort of horse that can take advantage of that. My concern is that they can't. My concern, and especially because Nick Foles is one of the quicker passers, I don't think pressure is going to be the deal in this one. I really think this is going to be a game where you have to come up, make tackles, be disciplined, and don't let this game kind of get out of hand when the Bears don't really have the talent to like beat anybody one-on-one. I think that's kind of the impression that I've gotten from the Bears on offense, at least. On defense, I think they can beat everybody one-on-one, but on offense, even though they've gotten some good play out of their wide receivers like Parnell Mooney and stuff, I think just because of the nature of Nick Foles and the nature of that offensive line, that's all going to be so limited that if you can keep everything in front of you, make the tackle, that's what the Vikings have been asking their corners to do all day, all season, then you can win this one. And I think ultimately this is a game where the Vikings can play their brand of football. They can play cover two. They can do stuff out of the slot. They can do a lot of play action deep shots. They can play exactly the way that they want to play, and it attacks all of the Bears' weaknesses. Don't overthink this one and go beat Chicago. Now, we're going to talk again before the game is played. We'll talk again on Monday morning, so we'll come up with something to do for then. But until then, you can find me on Twitter at LukeBrauntNFL. You can find the show on Twitter at LockedOnVikings. The show is brought to you today by Pepsi, made for football watching. And as always, Skol.